Hello. Hello. Space? Is that you? Well, in any case, I've started recording. Might as well, you know, record early, record often.
Okay.
That's what I've always said.
You've never said that.
I believe... Okay.
Okay. So, you are... We want to talk about some mech stuff?
I guess. I figure I just wanted to talk about Lost Planet, and if you want to just talk about the sort of feeling you get in robot games in general, I mean, Lost Planet has mechs in it, so there's the crossover.
Yeah, alright. Start talking about Lost Planet. We'll see where that goes.
Okay. Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Ryan.
Nope! Nope, we're sticking with it now.
And this is an evidently fairly informal episode of the Eliku Studios podcast.
Because it's a guided, or a weekly. It's the one where an intro is unimportant, because you don't know what we're going to say. Completely live and unrehearsed, like everything. Like life, man. It's raw and uncut.
Yeah, man. These are some Eliku deep cuts.
Oh, they're not the deepest. They're still substantially deep. You're going to need stitches for these cuts.
Whoa.
Moving on.
So, over the course of talking about the last podcast we recorded, I realized that we never talked about a game that both of us are really fond of.
Near and dear to our hearts.
Which doesn't really have a lot of widespread appeal for whatever reason.
People are dumb.
That is Lost Planet 2.
Lost Planet 2 is so cool.
I suppose it probably never came up because it doesn't really fall under the purview of our original freeware thingy. But damn the torpedoes. That's what I say.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. Torpedoes are busters. Punks.
Lost Planet 2 is awesome because there are mechs in it, but if your mech dies, you can still just pick up the weapons by hand as a dude and walk around using them.
Okay, so Lost Planet 2, sequel to Lost Planet 1, which I was actually reading up about some of the shit that happens in Lost Planet 1. That game's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the harmonizer in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, you know, everybody's got them and whatever. But, like, in the first game, there were, like, three people with harmonizers.
Oh.
And they don't, like, eat or sleep or shit anymore. They're, like, Tang-powered immortal superhumans.
Oh.
Like, at one point during the game, apparently your guy falls into a coma for, like, 50 years.
And then just wakes up and harmonizes?
And, like, and he's all like, whoa. Under a snowdrift or some
the longest
shit
time.
All that. And then just kind of digs his way out and is like, ugh, forgot everything again.
Oh. Well, it's not like, because the first one was kind of entirely story-based.
Yeah.
And I hear...
Like you recovered your dad's old VS and shit to try to avenge his death.
But, yeah, like, for being, like, mostly story-based, I guess, I hear it's only, like, 4 hours long. Like, you can beat it in an afternoon, no problem.
Mm.
So, and by now it's probably pretty cheap, so we should try and get on that.
Actually, maybe. There's like an extended version on Steam with Edge that has like bonus missions and shit, time trials,
whoa,
boss attack. But yeah, that was Lost Planet 1. Lost Planet 2 was a game that I think was pretty misunderstood at launch, because the first one was a pretty solid like single player experience.
Mm.
And Lost Planet 2 is an episodic co-op third-person shooter action game where you fight giant bugs and also dudes, and there are cutscenes where things happen that don't really matter all that much.
Yep.
Like, level with me here. In the first chapter, after, like, your squad gets set up and attacked by an enormous Acrid, and the guys are all in the helicopters like, oh, man, you got set up too? Here, listen to this. Somebody set out this message, and it's like... you know, oh, who would want to kill off all the snow pirates? Doop, doop, doop. That never ever comes up again. There's like five more chapters, and like, they leave the first one off with that cliffhanger that's never addressed ever again. I realized that the other day, and I thought it was pretty funny.
That's kind of true, but I think that's more alluding to the setup that there's, like, all the snow pirates, and then there's Nevik, because Nevik are, like, the only group on the planet not considered snow pirates. So that's why, like, the jungle fight junkies are also considered snow pirates, even though they live in the fucking jungle.
Yeah, even though they're jungle pirates. And there's mountain pirates, also jungle pirates.
But it's like, if there's any
snow pirates.
Like, Nevik is kind of just assholes through the entire game, so I think, like, when that is referring to just like, well, there's also Nevik, and Nevik is assholes. But that's why Nevik is such assholes that when you play as, like, the Nevik Black Ops squad later on,
And you become ex-Nevik.
Yeah, they become ex-Nevik Black Ops, so that's how bad Nevik is. Even Nevik people don't want to be Nevik people no more. Then again, they also sort of reveal that that entire squad is actually just clones of the guy from the first game, who they consider expendable because the guy from the first game was a turncoat.
So good job. Yeah, like, every chapter you play is a different faction. So, like, the first chapter you're playing as these guys that want to blow up this mine that the jungle pirates have for some reason.
Yeah.
And the second chapter you're playing is the Nevik Black Ops team, and you're going to investigate the railway gun. And then the third chapter, you get to shoot the railway gun.
See, but then it's
just like these desert pirate guys.
They never really explain, like, who built the railway gun.
The carpetbaggers did.
No, the carpetbaggers.
Whoever the fuck they are.
I think the carpetbaggers just stole it from whoever originally built it, and then it gets stolen again by the fight junkies. Except it doesn't get stolen by the fight junkies, it gets stolen by somebody else.
By the desert pirate dudes, the Waysiders?
Wastelanders? Something? Waysiders, yeah, it might be them. So I don't know who originally owned that. Like, there may be some other non, like, combative faction on the planet who likes to build things, and it just constantly gets their shit stolen.
Yeah, but everyone else likes to fight all the time.
Well, because, you know, heat is such a valuable and rare resource on this ice planet where there are now jungles.
Well, the whole ecology's getting messed up, man. Nevik's exploiting the planet. They want to kill the Overjacred and freeze everybody.
Yeah, well, like, that's what ties everybody together in the end, is there's the Overjacred. And he's just like, he is a giant, postulous red asshole on the planet.
I think he's in the core of the planet.
He might be the planet, and he has all the heat. So he's like the biggest asshole, figuratively and literally.
I don't know if the team that made this over at Capcom, like, knows about thermodynamics and stuff. Because, like,
they don't. They clearly
Nevik's
don't.
Plan is to shoot a giant laser, which I imagine would take a great deal of energy to operate, at the Overjacred, so that the Overjacred releases all of its thermal energy, and that would make the planet freeze?
No, I think what's going on is Nevik just wants to wake the Overjacred up, because
their plan is to kill it and take all of its thermal energy, and then let the planet freeze.
Oh. Okay, so the point is, like, there's the Overjacred, and he has all the heat. So I guess Nevik just wants to take that heat. Whereas when you play as everybody else, and you work together and kill it, and you kill it without taking it, the point is this thing dies by the end of the game. And when you kill it and don't take it, then it actually makes the planet kind of habitable. I guess.
Yeah, because, I don't know, Acrids have this magical red stuff in them that they call thermal energy, but is actually some kind of, like, magical fuel that runs robots and harmonizers that keep people from dying.
It is their blood, but it's blood that generates heat after they're dead.
Yeah.
Like, generates heat on its own, not as
I don't know. It's magic on Obtanium, except it's quite Obtanium. It's not that important.
You're still trying to rationalize the story where everyone on the planet is a snow pirate and there is a train gun. There is a train gun. That is
the
story.
Overland battleship. The overland battleship is also pretty cool.
Yeah,
especially
the part where you go into space is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The part where you go into space, fight to the top of the satellite laser cannon, and then have a giant robot arena fighting battle that ends with the robot that transforms, which you would only have been clued into that that might exist earlier on in the game in tooltips.
Because of an achievement.
Because there is a good job. One plus one equals,
Good job hint. 1 VS plus 1 VS equals, it equals a tank with a robot on the back that shoots, like, drill missiles and shit. It's really rad.
Yeah.
And then after you hijack the satellite laser, you have to re-enter the atmosphere in special re-entry robots that still get torn up anyway.
I mean, it's like...
And then you fight your way to a bunch of alien buttholes, and then you slap a beacon on them, and the laser just raises everything.
Like, it's kind of cool for the... I like it for a lot of the same reasons that I liked the Super Robot Wars OVA, except that one was about one-upsmanship, where, like, something cool happens, then something cooler happens, then something cooler happens. This one is just about cool things happening at that highest tier right from the start, but then they just keep shifting what the cool thing is. So there's a train gun, there's an overland battleship, there's, you know, space fights, there's laser cannons, satellites. It's just, like, different really cool things that are ridiculous that you deal with from different perspectives.
And, like, everyone is a ridiculous action hero for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, in the train gun chapter, you're, like, running away from a giant acrid on your train, and you're, like, throwing cars back at it to keep it back. And then, like, in the end cutscene, there's a guy with a giant shotgun from a robot, and he's just, like, smashing the little coupling between the trains with it.
Well, and also just, like, the part that you are on one train, and then you hijack the other train without the train stopping.
Jumping onto it.
Yeah, just, like 103 QuickTime events, press A, jump, land, everybody strike a pose.
Yeah, pose as a team. Shit just got real.
And then back to the game. And that's it. Like, so good.
And, like, I just really like the customization and shit around the game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for the multiplayer, and after you beat the game, you can pick one of five factions to like, be your character type, and then you get all sorts of different character parts within that faction to, like, swap out parts and customize yourself, and then you also get titles, some of which are, like, related to the weapons or, like, the robots and stuff, so you might be, like, you know, Machine Gun Master, Heavy Weapons Master, or whatever. And then, like, some of them are based on, like, other Capcom games, so you might be, like, you know...
Tech Romancer!
Or Tech Romancer. Except, wasn't Tech Romancer, like, Treasure? I don't know.
Tech Romancer wasn't Treasure, although Treasure makes awesome games all the time.
Yeah, like, they did Bangayo and Gunstar Heroes, and I would...
And Guardian Heroes.
Guardian Heroes.
And Mischief Makers.
I would believe that they also made Tech Romancer, but I don't actually know.
But then there's also
some
weird
of them
ones,
don't
like...
don't just make sense at all. Like, they... I'm sure they just had a guy and was like, listen, we need, like, 200 phrases.
And he's like, oh, he's Mr. Hot-Blooded, like, okay, Awesomeness.
Preparing for finals.
Blind
glasses
without glasses.
Make the girl.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Slam Masters.
I feel like that is another game or a movie. But,
I think it's
just
dudes who slam jam on Saturday night.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going on.
Welcome to the Space Jam. Are you ready to slam jam these giant alien buttholes?
And so you get, like, this, that, and you also get all the emotes, which are just little character animations that you can set and select. There's dances, there's boxing, there's, let's put that aside.
And, like, there's all sorts of ones with special effects, like this little bunny ear pose where bunny ears pop out, and the thumbs up, which, like, flashes the harmonizer.
And the superhero
poses. And the one
where you
just kind of, like, punch the air and confetti and shit falls down.
I need to, like, sync up with the superhero ones, because there's, like, left side, right side, and center, and you need all three people to be able to do it.
Yeah. I like the team leader pose where you're just kind of, like... It's stupid to talk about animations, because I was just going to do it, and that's not very useful. Like, here, do you hear the sound of my arm swishing a little? It's like that. Derp, derp, derp. But then you also get, like, all the weapons and stuff, because the way the weapon system work is pretty cool. in that there's, like, just five categories of weapons, like standard, short, long, heavy, and special. And then there are just, when weapons are, like, on the stage, they just belong to that category, and then depending on who picks them up, they will, like, you know, just be the weapon that they have selected.
Yeah, so, like if
your standard weapon, you have, like, machine gun, or energy gun, or sword gun.
Sword gun?
Shit like that. Sword gun's the best!
Sword gun? Well, it's the worst gun, but it is the best sword gun.
Oh, yes. It's the best sword.
Sword in gun the gun 2, category.
Sword Gun 2, Sword Gun SP, I forget what it is on fire. So.
Yeah, I got that one. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Continues to be. How much did you level up?
I just hit 70 on the Femme Fatales other day, which is cool because I got the Energy Gun SP,
yeah,
which fires like this pink beam with like this heart particle effect. It's really cool.
Oh, that's amazing. I think I hit, I might be at like... 70 or 80 with the Fight Junkies.
Let's just keep talking over each other. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's an exciting topic. You must forgive us.
Yeah. Gosh, is it the Fight Junkies or the... Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Snow Pirate Elite guys that have the cool, like, Monster Hunter-esque character parts.
Where he's just like, my armor is now bugs. Deal with it.
Like, I have heard this game described as, like, it's like Monster Hunter, but without all of the herb harvesting and shit.
Yeah,
and
which
you
is...
know what? It is kind of like that, because you do fight enormous things, and you don't have to, you know, spend time forging new armor and making potions and stuff.
Except yeah, which I really like.
And stuff, so, whatever.
I've never been a fan of making potions. It's bad enough that they need me to run around to pick up guns from where they drop rather than just letting me have bullets. But I'm entirely willing to allow that.
Okay.
It adds tensity. Tensity?
I also got the firecracker grenade, which is so cool.
Which one is that?
It's one of the release grenades, because there's also, like, five categories of grenade.
Yeah.
It's, like, regular plasma, disc, release, and something else.
Plasma stun? Oh, and then there's also the support weapon. So, like, the shield or the injection gun.
Or the V-device.
Which just, like, instant radar. I've never seen anybody use it. Or is that different?
The V-device, too, makes you invisible.
Oh. Oh, my.
You can also do a special support cannon with it that fires, like, this big fireball. It's really cool.
Yeah.
A guy I was playing with a while back, we were doing Chapter 6, and so he just kept doing that into, you know, the big alien butthole. And it's so easy.
Wow, I bet.
But yeah, the firecracker grenade, it's a release grenade, and it's kind of silly, because, like, you just kind of roll it, you barely throw it at all, and then it, like, literally shoots out a firework, like, it pops up into the sky, and, like, you know, it just goes, pew! And then, like, a little parachute thing comes down. And it's very silly, except against big Acrid, it's really good, because you could just, like, roll it under them, and oftentimes they'll have a weak point, like, on their bellies or whatever.
Mm.
So it just shoots a firework up into it.
Cool. That'd be really useful when you fight those double blind dragons.
Blind dragons? Oh, yeah.
Into train.
Suck.
Yeah. But it's also nice, because, like, some of the weapon classes, the weapons are hugely different. Like, the short range, you either get, like, the hand cannon, which is the 45 Magnum, or you get a regular shotgun.
No,
but then there's
the
also,
hand
like...
cannon's a heavy weapon.
Oh, it is? Oh, well, there you go. I mean, it's either that or a rocket launcher. No.
Yeah.
There's
a revolver in the short
There's
range.
Also a revolver, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, the rifles...
There's also the flamethrower, or the acrid launcher.
Mm. But then, like, in the rifle category, it's all just different kinds of rifles. So it's like, do you want more accurate, more powerful, a burst shot rifle?
There's also the plasma rifles, which are pretty cool, because, like, one of them, it just fires a plasma beam, doop-doop. One of them charges up to become more powerful. And I recently learned that when it's fully charged, you can use it as a melee weapon. It, like, shoots a big beam.
Yeah! But it shoots a big beam out, or you use it as, like, a sword? Like, you just sort of spin around with a blade.
You just spin around, and it just has this beam coming out of the front. It's great.
That is amazing. Although, I still prefer just a regular sword gun.
Yeah.
Gun sword.
Except you can have both.
I know!
I've actually been using the... really cool.
I've been using the gold rifle. Because it's like, you only get three shots, but they're, like, the most powerful shots in the game.
It's the same as the regular rifle, dude.
It is? Then why is that so amazing?
It's gold.
Yeah, but no, it's amazing for some other reason. I just forget why.
You can get headshots with it and kill people?
Yeah, but you can do that with most things. I do that with the plasma rifle. Anyway, we're getting into semantics. Yes. The customization is to... Because then there's also... aside from that, there's also...
Like abilities.
Yeah,
the different grenade types.
What abilities do you roll with?
Superstar.
Superstar? Which one is Superstar? I forget.
It gives you 2 times as much character points to level up your character.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes all the enemies in the single player target you over anyone else.
Huh.
Like, regardless of whether you're hiding or anything. Like, if you are in the area where they would notice and attack you, they will always attack you rather than anyone else.
Yeah. I think... Well, because there's also... I actually looked it up once at, like, what the ratios were, and there's the one that takes up both ability slots that's called, like, self-inflicted injury, where that one is you take, like, twice as much pain, but you get 3 times as many character points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one that I always use, because I know I'm going to take hits, but it's okay. I'm a robot. But because that's the other thing. There's also, like, if you use, you know, robots a lot, you get VS Master, so that you end up using less energy and you can use robots for longer. And then, or you could go on the other side and do VS
Takedown.
And be a tank romancer. The game is... The only thing I kind of wish is... I've actually, you know... By the time you get one character leveled all the way up, and you've bought out the $2,000 slot machine, I've kind of had my fill of most of the levels. Like, a lot of them are cool, and playing them with people might also be cool. And if you just give it a rest in between, that's cool. But I've actually taken to just sort of grinding the like multiplayer training mission where you just do sort of the capture the point for a while. Because
really?
I do that, and it just playing that over and over again, you can actually go up, like, even when you're in your 60s, your 70s, you can go up about a level and a half every round.
Huh. Okay.
And it's, like, the most efficient way. And it's still pretty fun if you like just running around, shooting people, getting good at the very technical aspect rather of just shoot and run, rather than the actual, like, strategy aspect of, like, okay, where is this monster weak? How can I not get hit? How do I dodge his ice beam attack? That guy's such an asshole.
Yeah, that guy's a huge dick. Especially because when he knocks you off, it says you committed suicide, and so it's like an extra hit on the battle gauge.
Yeah.
Especially if you take the secret route to get there, so you bring a robot.
Yeah.
But then he just knocks you off anyway, so you lose like 2,000 on the battle gauge and just immediately lose.
I don't know, man. I've been... Ever since I figured out that you do that and you take the robot with you, I never get hit. I keep that robot till the very end.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe you are not a VS master.
Maybe I'm not a tech romancer.
Maybe you're a Saturday Night Slam master. Maybe that's what's going on.
I'm actually a proto man.
I'm a tech romancer. Like, but that's sort of what I mean. It's like the game is very much about customizing and playing with people and sort of finding your playstyle, something that fits you. I haven't been able to play much of the actual versus online.
There are actually a lot more people on the Xbox than there are on the PC still playing it.
I bet, which is why the next time I'm in town, we have to hook that shit up for an extended period.
Yes.
But,
I played some with Jesse, and, like, at first he was like, ugh, this is shit, because, like, as a competitive game, like, it is not totally balanced and, you know, a really, you know, competitively focused game.
Yeah.
Like, there was one guy in the first game we played. It was just like an elimination deathmatch sort of thing. And he was just running around with that pink energy gun I was telling you about that shoots the heart thingies. Because what that does is it stuns people.
Yeah.
Like a plasma grenade, except you can just keep doing it. So he'd just do that and then roll grenades underneath people and just blow them away. And there wasn't much you could do about it because the energy gun has a homing shot.
Yeah, like I remember the first time I tried playing online, I was like level 10 maybe, and there was a guy with the flaming sword gun, and I was just like, well, every time he sees me, I'm dead. Like, there's nothing I can do about that. But that's, like, I guess that's why it's about, mainly about playing cooperatively until everybody's sort of at that end game level where everybody has, maybe not all the weapons, but a lot of really good weapons that they work well with.
But at the same time, okay, keep going, sorry.
I was in a similar match where somebody was going around with energy weapons, like the higher ones, like the energy, whatever, like the energy rocket launcher is.
And plasma cannon.
Yeah. And he was wrecking most people with it. So I was like, maybe I'll try that. And it didn't work, so I switched back to a rocket launcher, and I was like, yeah, now I'm actually getting hits in on him. So that's, it's, you know, we both still have to kind of be at the later tiers, but it is still, at that point, it balances out without everybody using the same equipment and the same loadout of abilities.
Yeah, like, even if it's not, you know, a perfectly balanced competitive game, like, by the end, he was just like, okay, this isn't great, but it is fucking hilarious. Like, when he picked the laser lance off of that robot and ran that guy down, that was great.
Yeah! Oh my god, I love it.
I mean, that's the way I play most games anyway. It's like, listen, I know I'm not going to win here, so I'm going to do the most ridiculous thing I can, and if I succeed, that is a moral victory. I'm going to play as Balrog and get a super in, an ultra hit in every single time against a guy who hits me every other time.
Yeah, like, if you remember a while back, Jesse was tweeting about it, but, like, I was running around with the laser lance, and, like, I'm trying to chase this guy down, except I'm going slow because I'm holding a VS weapon, and he's getting away from me, and he jumps into a helicopter, and I'm just like, oh, no. And then it just turned around, and he's chasing me down with a helicopter. And, like, you know, ridiculous shit like that just happens. It's great.
Yeah. It's got a lot of what professionals call emergent gameplay. It is a system where there are a lot of rules in place, but then there's a lot of space for those rules to become dynamic and interact with one another. Are you going to jump into a helicopter alone and be backed up by somebody on the ground? Or are you both going to take the helicopter and have twice as many air weapons?
Are you going to attach a homing laser to it? I hope so.
Can you put the pile bunker on the helicopter? Or do we have a plan for the next time we play?
Oh my god.
That is my next plan now.
Oh my god. Oh, but speaking of the multiplayer, like, I really like the maps in that game. Like, they're these huge, spacious, often, like, using a lot of vertical space really well. And just, like, dotted with gun turrets and robots and shit for you to just hop into. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I played on, Yeah,
except for some of them, like, the stupid speedball course. Cube. I hate that map.
I'm getting used to that one, because it also sort of depends on if you want to play with, like, the big robot mode, or if you want to play just, like, people on foot, more like a classic shooting game mode. But, you know, I'm always a fan of throwing other things into the mix. That's why I find it really stupid when people play Brawl with items off. Like, items should be on. It is a game about items and adding more chaos into the play space.
That's more variety to the game. Enjoy it. Because, and, again, that's a game that's, you know, very far from a perfectly balanced competitive game, and I still don't understand why people try to force it to be.
Yeah.
That's why you get shit like, well, it's a tournament, so we can't play on any map that has vertical walls, because vertical walls are imbalanced. Well, maybe that tells you something about the game.
Yeah.
Fuck ass.
That's what I've been saying for a long time. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of... Did they release any, like, DLC single co-op packs, maps? Because, like, there's
a
bunch...
I don't think so.
Like, there's a bunch in the game. And for a while, I went back and I would revisit the same couple of ones. But then I realized, like, I was missing out on whole chapters. Like, I forgot about the space one and the underwater one. Like, those are two completely separate chapters with their own progress.
Yeah.
Progression. So there's a lot there. And, you know, if you can't find enough people on the versus multiplayer, which, for the cool modes like VS Vipper, you can't. But... Like, there still is a bunch of stuff in there to go with. But if they were to, like, go and add some more, like, co-op maps, I would go back to it a lot.
Yeah, I really wish that they did, but I'm pretty sure there's not much going on with the Lost Planet 2 development anymore. Have been...
Go on.
Actually, just this year, they added a bunch of costumes if you own Killzone or Monster Hunter. I was wondering how... I saw screenshots of, like, people in Rathalos armor, and I was wondering where it came from.
Oh.
So they added costumes recently, just May 14th? It doesn't say the year. That might have been...
Yeah, probably like at least a year ago.
Yeah, that was
It was not like two days ago.
Yeah.
Or is that in the future?
Wait. In June, there was a release of downloadable content for Lost Planet 2 for the PS3. Two Hellgast costumes, free of charge. There's also a map pack that was released pre-game release for $5 or 400 Microsoft points. So if you have it... Okay.
We will investigate this in short order.
I think those DLCs are just on the console versions, though. Aw, man. One of them is a map that takes place on the Overland battleships from Episode 5.
Oh, man. I really wish there was cross-platform capability.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why there isn't.
Especially considering it's such a co-op-focused game.
Like it's a co-op-focused game, and it's not like they really went through a lot of length in order to balance it. Like, I get the feeling that sort of it feels really, like, clunky on consoles. Like, not like stiff, but it's just like all the movements are slow and you have to be very deliberate in what you do. Like, just think about, like, you have to come to a standstill and pause for a moment when you pick up a weapon off the ground. It forces you to be deliberate and think, like, okay, do I have enough time to go there and do this now? But I feel a lot of that clunkiness is going to be there on the PC version, so I don't... And it's not always about just pointing and shooting so much as it is about just knowing the right path, where can you grapple, and... So I don't feel like, you know, having keyboard mouse controls would really unbalance the game.
Yeah. The way that the controls are set up on the PC with the sensitivity and everything, it seems like they intended you to play it with a gamepad. Like, the mouse control is, like, by default, is almost unplayable. You just need to go in and, like, change the settings and it becomes better. Like, it, by default, it has a really, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, you have to move your mouse quite a great deal for it to actually register movement. And it feels like, you know, that's set up so that you would have to, you know, move an analog stick. In that way, for it to register movement, it feels like it would make sense like that. So I think they intended you to play it with a gamepad on the PC.
Okay. I mean, that is the way a lot of games are going these days. Even VS Nitros was designed to be used with an Xbox 360 gamepad. Available at VSNitros.com.
Oh, God, yeah. Wait a second.
So, what?
Okay, never mind.
Okay, what do you think it is about this game that turned most people off to it? Is it, do you think it's mainly in that clunkiness, or is it more in the fact that there's, you know, like there is a story in so much as there are cutscenes, and then it's really just about the action and the multiplayer?
Well, I think part of it is that people didn't go into it expecting it to be so co-op focused. Like, if you're not playing with other people, it's not that great.
Yeah,
You're still doing all the same stuff, but, like, the bots can't really handle some of the things you have to do. Like, in Chapter 3, when you're doing the railway gun, like, there are all sorts of tasks that need to be done. Like, you need to bring shells up and load them into the cannon, and then energize them, and then aim and shoot the cannon. And there are stations on, like, the left and right, so you can, like, turn it around really fast. And if you get hit, you need to go turn on the coolant and stuff. And, like, all the bots know how to do is bring shells up onto the deck.
Yeah.
They don't even load them. Like,
that chapter is
almost unplayable without co-op.
Yeah. Because the bots are competent in so much as there are certain things which you know are just going to be done.
Pretty well.
Move, shoot, and go after data posts. But there's no way to sort of command them and prioritize them. So and I don't know if, like, I don't know how well this actually works, but I feel like the multiplayer sort of encourages not just, you know, working together and giving orders and deciding what the best tactics are, or the best tactics and strategy, but Also, it might even sort of enforce a bit of camaraderie if you manage to be like, okay, you take the left side and I'll take the right side and we'll meet in the middle.
Actually, there was, I was playing online the other day, and the first time I met somebody who wanted to pilot the multi-seat VS. And so we had three guys, and, it's, you know, it's a robot suit. It's a VS that has, for the pilot, like, only these little dinky auxiliary guns. But then there are two turrets that other people can, you know, man. So most of the time, people don't want to use it because, you know, for the pilot, you just kind of move and have this tiny little gun that goes like, pew, 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 and it's not that great. But you have all the added firepower of these other two turrets, and you can, like, you know, target multiple things, and it's really powerful if it's fully manned. And for the first time, we got it fully manned, and we brought it through the chapter, like, once we got it, we held on to it until the end against, like, the big salamander boss Acrid.
Oh, man.
It was great.
Yeah.
And by the end, I was just like, I don't know who you people are. We didn't even like chat or anything, but you just both got friend requests. So fuck yes, it creates a sense of camaraderie.
But then again, you also have to, like, it is a... for you to like this game, you kind of have to go in either... You really need to like the ridiculousness of train gun and multi-seat robots, or you have to at least want the... You have to go in wanting to have that sort of teamwork camaraderie. Because it's... Because, again, like not only is a single-player experience not that fun because of the poorness of the bots and the way it's constructed, but just if you... Even if you're playing a multiplayer game, but you're still kind of treating it as, well, at least now I have human players with me, it's still not as great unless you are working together and charging each other's weapons and multi-seat VS and you know, balancing loadouts, like who has real long-distance weapons and who has the powerful weapons.
Who has the sword gun. Everyone has a sword gun once they can manage to get the sword gun.
I've played with people who don't like using the sword gun. It's amazing.
Because then you get the revolver for your short-range weapon, which is actually a mid-range weapon that lets you headshot people. So it's balanced.
And when you get headshots, you get extra boxes. Everybody always go after all the boxing.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Dude, against the Acrid X at the end of Chapter 2, you can get so many boxing.
Yeah, how?
Just, like, whenever, you know how it kind of, like, it regenerates little bits and, like, it gets the rocky shell on, like, its weak parts and stuff?
Yeah.
Every time you break those, it throws out boxes.
Oh.
Like, I didn't really notice it early on, but, like, it just spits out boxes.
Huh.
It's great.
I have to. That's... I want to play really hard right now.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm biting my lips here.
Anyway, I was looking around, and I found out that the gold edition of Lost Planet Extreme Condition, the first game, Colonies, does have cross-platform between Xbox Live and games for Windows Live.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And it includes new multiplayer maps, a human versus Acrid mode where you get to play as Acrid.
Ooh. That sounds interesting.
So maybe there's not a lot of people playing Lost Planet 2 multiplayer because they're playing Colonies. I don't know.
Huh. It could be. But it's still, it's a ridiculous game.
Yeah. It's a great game.
Like, it, this ain't no Call of Duty Modern Warfare. This is not, like, a realistic physics simulation that then they remembered it was a video game. This is, here are ridiculous things. Have fun.
Did you just describe Modern Warfare as a realistic physics simulator?
No.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you did.
But, I mean, they wanted to be like, I don't know what they're like. I hate that game.
There's floaty shit everywhere.
It's gruff, and then they're like, oh no, you can't see because of all the rubble. It's like, no, you can probably still see because of all the rubble, because you're in a giant robot making it. The rubble was a train gun that skidded.
Oh, that poor train gun.
It goes out like a champ, though.
Yeah. We'll always remember you. You and Waggleton P. Tally Licker. Do you know about Waggleton P. Tally Licker?
I'm pretty sure I don't.
Okay, so in Bulletstorm, there's this one part where...
Oh, the giant dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah, him. Okay, yeah.
You operate this Godzilla, like, mechatronic dinosaur thingy, and, like, it falls through this sinkhole or whatever, and he's just like, I'll always remember you. I named him Waggleton P. Tallylicker, but I never got the chance to tell him. That game was alright.
Yeah. The point is that Lost Planet 2 is awesome. It takes a certain kind of person to see why it's awesome and be able to revel in it, but that does not stop it from being awesome. So you should get it and play it. And next time I'm home, we're going to play it.
It's pretty cheap for your system of choice right now. I bet. What I picked up a used copy at Play and Trade for Jesse and Jill. It was like $19, I think.
Oh, geez. We should get like 3 more copies. 2 more copies?
We don't have that many Xboxes and TVs. Wait, Brian's got one.
Brian's got one. And Caitlin's brother has one. All right, we're set.
Or if you want it on the PC, it is available on Steam for, I don't know, it was on sale a while back. It might be back to like $30 or $40, I don't know. But you're not going to pay like $50, $60 for it at this point. Certainly.
Right.
And if you get it on the PC, you can play with me.
Or if you get it on the Xbox, you can play with me. You're set either way. Blah, blah, but, yeah, until we get to play some of that, I think we should play some Killing Floor. Which, I mean, we should probably play some Killing Floor tonight.
Okay.
Because I've been playing a lot of that.
Kill some floors? What class do you use?
The Commando. Or the Sharpshooter. Yeah. I play the Commando, but I level up the Sharpshooter.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Which, I like that. And there are reasons I like that, but I think those are for another podcast.
I like the support specialist, because it's like you get to hold more stuff, and your shotgun gets more powerful, and you can weld doors faster, and you can hold more grenades, and your grenades are more powerful. Like, wow. You get so many little improvements.
Oh. All right.
Okay. Well, I was thinking we could bring up talking about robots and shit.
No, that's another time.
And stuff, but yeah, we're at like 40-something minutes right now, so I think for today, we're good.
Yeah, we're definitely good. So until next time, when is going to be an APB cast?
Oh my god! Because as of this recording, the free version of All Points Bulletin by Gamers First is coming out tomorrow!
Yeah.
So by the time this podcast goes out, maybe like last week, I don't know.
Well, this one comes out last week.
This one comes out last week? Oh, okay.
We're doing that thing again.
Oh, goddamn. Future time.
Don't worry. I am the knight of time. I will handle it.
Okay.
Now I'll make us some boombox.
So, yeah. This is the Elite Custodios podcast.
Yeah.
You can find us on the internet. You can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, in the iTunes store. You can send us email at Elite Custodios.
.net.
.com.
It's .net. Oh, podcast.net. That's... We should get that. Yeah, look out for cool stuff. It's coming.
Look out!
See you later.
Later.
White kid.
Boo!